We've been going through a series on Sunday morning called A Series of Unstoppable Events. And we've looked at the wise men coming from Babylon, about 800 miles to Jerusalem, to follow the star and see the Christ child. We've looked at the story of Gabriel, the angel, appearing to Mary and telling her that she would bear the Christ child, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and that the child within her would be born of God. We've looked at the story of Joseph, determined to divorce her privately, not to shame her because of the humiliation of his fiancée being found with child, and he knew that he had no part in that. But an angel appeared to him in a dream and saying, "Fear not to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is of God." We looked at the story of King Herod and how insanely suspicious he was of anyone who might challenge his power and his rule. So much so that he ended up murdering his wife and his mother-in-law and three of his sons. And we also found out that before he died, he had a huge number of people arrested on bogus charges so that when he died, they might be executed. Knowing that no one would mourn his death, he was determined that tears be shed. And finally, tonight, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds and how God appeared to them and what that means for us. The question that I believe is the question that needs to be asked tonight is, why shepherds? Did God run out of people to share the message with? In the day, they were kind of the outcasts of society because they were around animals all day. So they were considered ceremonially unclean, unfit to participate in the temple practices and offerings there or prayer. They were really kind of rejected by society. They were uneducated for the most part. They weren't the scribes or the Pharisees or the religious elite. Why shepherds? And the conclusion I've drawn is that, at least for my own thinking, is that because shepherds embody the heart and the nature of God. And I believe there's three messages that we learn tonight in the shepherd's story. One is the angel's announcement that it would be good news of a great joy for all people, for all people. Secondly, I believe that God himself is a shepherd, and so he identified with what it means to be a shepherd. And finally, these shepherds watched over the very lambs that would one day be used in the temple sacrifices. And there's such rich symbolism there that these shepherds would come to the Lamb of God who would one day give himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. So I want to unpack that tonight, just a few moments with you, and see what God has for us. The message is for all people. Those formerly shut out from the kingdom of God, not welcome, are now dinner guests at the banquet table with God Almighty. The wedding clothes are provided. The once and for all sacrifice has been made and paid. All are welcome. Whosoever will may come. A good news of great joy for all people. It's no longer just the Jewish people, but it's Gentiles. It's non-Jews as well. It's everyone is welcome. No matter what your background, your ethnicity, your training, your profession, God is saying that this is a message for all people. Well, secondly, shepherds embody the heart and the nature of God. At the end of Jacob's life, as you remember, God renamed Jacob Israel. And at the end of his life, he says this in Genesis 48, verse 15. It says that he blessed his son Joseph, saying, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, this God has been my shepherd all my life to this day." That was his testimony. King David penned the words of the famous Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all of the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist went on to write in Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I thank him." And then at this point, King David speaks on behalf of all the people and of the nation when he says, "The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd, O Lord, and carry them forever." Finally, in Psalm 80, he says, "O give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." The prophet Isaiah would write, "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Ezekiel wrote, "As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all of the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. In that day I will set one shepherd over my people from the house of my servant David, Christ. And he will feed them and will feed them himself and be their shepherd." The prophet Micah wrote in chapter 5 of his prophecy, "And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace." In Matthew chapter 2, Matthew quotes Micah as he says, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 9, when the crowds came to listen to his teaching and to be near to him, the text says that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and so he felt compassion for them. Then in that famous passage in John chapter 10, Jesus declares and proclaims, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The one who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand, and he's not concerned about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. For my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand, for my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Peter would write in chapter 2 of his letter, "We all were continually straying like sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls." Finally, the Apostle John wrote in Revelation, in that vision that he received from God, that we, the church, the believers, made up of every tribe and every tongue of the earth, will no longer hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on us, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. On and on, Scripture speaks of God as a shepherd, loving tenderly and personally his people. I'd like to invite you to join me in affirming that together by proclaiming the 23rd Psalm. Will you follow me as we read? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The message of God to the shepherds is that this was good news. That's literally what the gospel means, good news. Good news of a great joy for all people. And I believe God intentionally, purposefully chose shepherds because, as we said, they embody his heart and his nature. He himself is a shepherd. And finally, I believe that God chose the shepherds because as they would care for the lambs that would go on to be the temple sacrifice, Jesus himself was that ultimate sacrifice, chosen before the foundation of the world to address and answer sin. So I want to let Scripture speak for itself. Back in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And Isaac said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." In Isaiah 53, the prophet wrote, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are all healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth." John the Baptist was out in the wilderness preaching a message of repentance from sin, and calling people to baptism and to a new life, pointing the way, preparing the way for Jesus, the Savior. And that one day as Jesus walked toward him, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I've been speaking of. He's of a higher rank than I am, for he existed before me. I'm not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He is the one. He is God's Messiah. He is God's anointed. He is the Lamb of God." Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Know that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life, which you inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he has appeared in these last times for our sakes, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and hope are in God." Again in Revelation we read, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations.' Then a voice from the throne of God said, 'Blessed are those who were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' But I saw no temple in the city of God, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there is no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying will ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Finally, the angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him forevermore. A message of great joy, a message of good news for all people, no one excluded, whosoever will may come, because God is a shepherd who loves his people, who is intimately and personally involved with his creation. And he is, in fact, the Lamb of God, the once and for all sacrifice, so that sacrifices no longer need to be made to pay for sins. Through him is forgiveness. Through him is new life. That's what we celebrate.